Well, praise the Lord, church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good to be back once again.
Yes, hallelujah.
Let's see. I'm going to talk about the gift today. Make sure my technology works here. Oh, yeah, here we go. Let's start off this morning with a word of prayer before we get into the word. Dear Lord, humbly we come before you and we give you thanks for this beautiful day that you've given us to come together in fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for blessing each and every one of us. Thank you for seeing people here we haven't seen for a while. Thank you for all being here. We thank you, Lord, for continuing to watch over and guide us each and every day. And as we come forward this morning to study your word, Lord, that the words come from my mouth be your words and not mine. Use me as your servant and as your vessel, Lord. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay, now last week we studied the events shortly after, starting right after the resurrection, right? You know, we had the resurrection, then the appearance of Jesus to the people, you know, and we talked a little bit about that and what was going on. And I told you that we ended right at the part where Jesus ascended up into heaven. Okay, so we're going to pick up over there today with a promise that Jesus made to his disciples. So there's going to be a couple places we're going to read today. First one is in Acts, the first 11 verses of chapter 1. So let's start off there. We're going to read those. I'll start off with the first verse. You come in with the second. It says, "The former treatise which I have made, O Theopolis, of that which Jesus both to do and teach,
until the day in which he was taken up, after that he too, the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen,
to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, He hath heard of thee.
For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and many in Holy Ghost not many more days to come.
And therefore will come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?
And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, for the Father hath put in his own power.
For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the other parts of the earth.
And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
While they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them, white as hair.
Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Amen. Okay, now we're also going to take a look at Acts 2, the first 8 verses. So let's read those. Again, I'll start that off. It says, in verse 1, it says, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them.
And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
And there were traveling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven.
Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
And they were all amazed and marveled, saying unto them, unto one another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Amen, amen. Okay, so let's go back at the beginning again with Acts 1:1. It says, The former treatise have I made, O Theopolis, of that Jesus began to both do and teach. Now, a treatise is a writing. So, you know, the book of Acts was mostly written by Luke. And remember, so we were in last week, we were in fact in this book of Luke, right? Studying the things that he was saying. So this is Luke carrying on. He's just mentioning the fact that he's written down a lot of this stuff before. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he thought the Holy Ghost had given them, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So we know who was there, right? We know who was there in the room with him when he was teaching all of this. It was the apostles. Okay. So we continue on. Verse 3 says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, which was his death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, we spoke about this last week, right? We spoke about the fact that the disciples were witnesses to his being alive. You know, they didn't actually witness the resurrection, because who witnessed the resurrections?
Guards.
The guards witnessed the resurrection. They were actually there when he came out of the tomb. So it wasn't anybody, and it wasn't even a Christian. Right? These were the guards that actually saw him come out of the tomb. But the disciples were witnesses to the fact that he was in fact alive. Okay? And he stood among them for 40 days, telling them the things that were going to come. He continued to teach them during all this time. And we knew that this is the truth because we have eyewitnesses, right? We talked about the fact that the disciples were actual eyewitnesses to everything. And you always get the best testimony out of an eyewitness. Anybody in law enforcement will tell you that. That the best testimony you can get is out of the people who were actually there. Now, they may not all tell the same story, because everybody sees things a little bit differently. Everybody has their own version of what they saw, their own ideas. But if you put it all together, you can make a pretty good picture of what actually happened. And being assembled together with them, they commanded him, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. Luke 24:49, it says exactly the same thing. He says, you guys, wait in Jerusalem. Okay. When we talked about that last week, he gave them an order. He said, wait in Jerusalem, something is coming. Okay. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, remember when John was baptizing, okay, what did John say to everybody when he baptized them? He says, I baptize you with water, but one is going to come after me that is going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. And that was John's prophecy. And then when he baptized Jesus, that was the fulfillment of that prophecy. And so he had to do that. That was all written in the plan. And so now, baptism comes with the Holy Ghost. Okay, now that's a separate baptism than water baptism and stuff like that. A water baptism is a symbolic representation of changing your life. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you let the Spirit dwell within you. Now, the first people to be baptized with the Holy Spirit were the disciples, because he passed that gift on to them, and that's what he promised that he was going to do. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Now, you gotta understand we're dealing with men here. Okay? The disciples, regardless of what Jesus kept saying to them, they still had this thing in the back of their mind. Everybody in the Jewish faith was looking for a new kingdom on earth, to be free of the Romans, to be free of the oppression from the outside countries. They wanted a new king. They wanted to see something happen on the earth. And that's why a lot of the big people in the church at the time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and stuff, didn't believe Jesus, who he was, because they were expecting a king to come. They're expecting somebody out of royalty, somebody out of a big house. But Jesus was a common man. He was a carpenter's son. He was born as a carpenter's son. He learned the carpentry trade. He worked with his hands. He was a man just like everybody else. He was a common man. That was his expression of the fact that he came for everybody. Not just for a select bunch of people, but for everyone. And as we think about that, you know, the disciples are still stuck on this. Where's the new kingdom on earth? When are we going to have that? Jesus has an interesting answer, though. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Don't worry about the kingdom on the earth. That's not what's important. That's not what you guys' focus should be on. And Jesus kept trying to tell his people this. He says, don't worry about the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. The stuff here on earth isn't what this is really important. What you got to look at and what you got to look forward to is what comes after that. And so he says, but ye shall receive power, okay, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This is what the purpose was going to be witnesses. Not the fact that there was going to be a new kingdom on earth. Because Jesus and God, his plan is something bigger, something for everyone. The whole point of Jesus coming to the earth was not just to take Israel itself and make Israel a new kingdom and just restrict it all to just the Jewish people. That wasn't the point of his coming to the earth at all. It was a bigger picture. He had to look out and to look forward to saving everyone, to touching everyone's heart, not just the Jewish people. Even though the Jewish people were the chosen people, and some things have fallen into place. Okay, May 1948, Israel once again became a country. Okay. That was one of the things that everybody was worried about Israel. Now, it's not a whole country yet, because there's still some dispute over the West Bank and a few things in Jerusalem and the Temple Mount and a whole bunch of stuff like that. But once those things get ironed out, once God fixes those things, other things are going to start to happen. So as we take a look at the prophecies of Jesus' return and the kingdom of heaven being established, you know, for the whole world, not for just the Jewish people, these things in the world are falling into place. And the power that the disciples were going to receive after they get the Holy Ghost, okay? After they get the Holy Ghost, they were going to have power. They're going to have healing power. They're going to have prophecy power. They're going to be able to foretell things. They're going to be able to see things. They would be more comfortable with the message that they had to give out to the world. That was going to be their power, their strength, and their confidence in what they were going to share and to tell the world. It was their job to start going out and to start converting people so that everyone could be saved. It's the whole purpose of everything that went on. And it says, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea, which is the rest of Israel, and Samaria, which was the people outside of Israel, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Everywhere. Everywhere. As far as he could get it. Okay? And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud and received them out of their sight. Now, we all talked about this last time. Jesus, this is his ascension into heaven. And while they looked there toward the heaven as he went up, two men stood by them in white apparel, probably angels, probably messengers, because they said to them, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing up into heaven? What you guys looking at? You know? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. So he's going to come back. Amen. Hey, he's going to come back on a cloud, just like he went up. One day he is going to come back. And they were just telling the disciples, don't stand around here waiting for it, because it ain't happening yet. Now, it's been 2,000 years, and it still hasn't happened. But it's getting closer and closer.